Hey, greetings all. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen.
We are coming to you again with our daily edification audio. Do we do this every day, Sister Amen?
Yeah, you know what? I love it.
That's why we call it daily, I guess.
Yeah.
We have another day to serve the Lord. Romans 14, 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Look at that. We're acceptable to God versus us accepting Jesus.
Yeah, we hear that all the time.
Pretty amazing.
I like that.
We had a really good day today. It was a quieter day. No street preaching today, but we did do witnessing. We had to travel a bit to get to a new town, and we got some...
How was that road on the way here?
Oh, we hit a potato chip road. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it was like constant bumping.
Yeah,
it was funny.
It was
weird. Was like, I'm not going to grumble. I'm just thankful that we're still moving.
Eventually, it's moved out, but it was a nasty road. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got some online ministry done, and I got a teaching up on proving in the Bible. So that's going to be posted at our edification page.
Yep.
And we posted a whole another street preaching post with a bunch of audios from our street preaching ministry. So we don't just do events. We also are out there witnessing to people one-on-one all the time. And so you'll hear some various audios of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that we posted that up. And today I thought I'd mention this quickly. Sunday I got the chance to stand in front of a church and there was a modern pastor there and I called him out for various sins and false doctrine that he couldn't answer. Tell us this doesn't work. He actually went on my website. He actually looked at all the videos. He actually messaged me on Facebook. And he basically was a mocker. He was not interested in the truth. He couldn't give one answer to any doctrinal issue I raised. His biggest issue to me was that I use an amplifier. And I couldn't find a Bible and verse on that where I can't. So I'm the heretic of the amplifier, I guess. I don't know.
Something.
But he challenged me to a debate. But I asked him five or six things to his face in front of his church body. And I guess he told me his children were there. I guess I rebuked him in front of his children. They were standing right there. Oh, well. Huh. He couldn't even answer those questions and didn't want to. Not sure why I would enter a debate. I don't do debates anyway. But why I would have a discussion with someone who wasn't even seeking truth or willing to answer truth. So it was a typical modern pastor interaction. And it shows you how void of truth they are.
Yeah, and then they want to come back later and try to pick a fight or something from a distance.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and I noticed when I was standing in front of him face to face, he was very, let's say, mouse-like. Once he got behind his keyboard, he was very bold and had a lot of words to say.
We see that, yeah.
We see that a lot. I call them pulpit jockeys. They're real comfortable in their pulpit because they have their practice sermon. When you catch them on the sidewalk or in the shopping mall, they're not the same man. They're fakes.
Yeah.
They're hirelings. They're not true shepherds. So I just thought I'd mention that. It does work to go out and street preach. And people see it. And a lot of people are going to see that testing. We put a testing up.
Right.
And yeah. So we'll see where that all goes. They're blinded by their own false doctrine and fleshly sin and popularity. They want to be popular with people. So it keeps them from the truth of God.
Yeah, how else are they going to keep getting themselves heaped up?
Yep, heaped up, paid up, buildings, in buildings, and all of that. So, Sister Amen, what is on your heart and mind today? I got some things I got to talk about, but maybe you want to share.
Well, I was just going to make this comment in passing that as we got off the highway and we were coming into town, I think it was this town, we saw a man standing there with a wooden cross.
Oh, yeah, we got a picture of that.
Yeah, it must be about, what do you figure, how tall that was?
It's
that
probably
cross?
7-8 feet tall.
Okay, yeah, it was taller than the man. There was no sign, no website, no nothing. Obviously, well, I guess I wasn't going to go there. I was going to talk about the cross, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
That was just it. He was just standing there doing it. And I was thinking, you know, we've seen where they have wheels on them.
Yep.
Sometimes they lighten them up so they can drag them or they take
It's kind of a gimmick. Men do it as a ministry. They carry a cross around to remind people about Jesus.
And then when you go to talk to them, where Brother Tupos has talked to some
of
these men. Yeah. And they can't stand on the word of God.
They have a false gospel.
A
They'll tell you just go to a church building somewhere. They're really, really quite watered down.
Yeah, so don't think that somebody doing that is of God unless they're tested or proven.
Yeah.
Like Brother Tupos.
Yeah, like my teaching.
Your
yeah,
teaching today.
Yeah, they're just usually connected to man-made religion. They're doing like, I call it stunt ministry. And they're just standing out there and not really preaching the gospel, calling people repentance, and teaching them to obey everything. They're not doing that.
Yeah, it's about them.
Yeah, it is. It's,
they stand there and think it's about the cross, but it's about them.
It's kind of an arrogant, prideful thing, because the ones I've talked to said, oh, I've carried the cross for 587 miles, and it's like, have you preached the gospel and called anybody repentance? No.
Right.
So, yeah, that was interesting. So we got a picture of that up.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Sister Emin?
Oh, I thought maybe I would go see where you're going and then maybe add some things.
Well, we had a lady come up to us today. Telling brothers, I'm a street preacher. I don't get startled very easily, but today I got startled. This was weird. We're sitting in our van and my driver's seat turns all the way around so that I lean back and my head is towards our window and I can sit and talk to Sister Emin. It's like our living room. And my window was open. So I'm sitting there working online, Sister Emin's working on videos, and all of a sudden this person, and it turned out to be just a little 50-year-old lady, you know, just a middle-aged lady. She didn't stand at a distance. She like stepped right on our van step and stuck her head right in the window and said, "Hey." And I told my brothers, I said, I almost reacted and my elbow almost jerked and would have hit her right in the face. I mean, she literally scared me, and I went like this with my arm, and I was like, whoa, and her face was right there by me, and I was, whoa, hold on, ma'am, and Sister Emin was making a video for me, and I had to go out and talk to her. What was it all about, Sister Emin? What did she want?
Yeah, I was
Wait, sorry. Can I say the first thing she said to me, then I'll turn over to you?
Yeah.
Because you didn't hear it. She said, will you pray for me? Those are her very first words. My husband is divorcing me. Will you pray for me? And right then you walked out and you kind of took it over.
Yeah, I only had 10 seconds left, so I finished it up. And I walked out and I didn't hear her ask for prayer.
Yeah.
So all she said was, after Brother Tupos turned her over to me, all she said was, my husband is divorcing me. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. And I immediately went into giving her the hope
right.
of eternal life.
Right.
And I said, we can't count on man because yeah. he lets us down. And I said, but God never will. And I got to share with her quite a bit.
Yeah.
And later on, she actually found us in another parking lot.
Sought us out again.
Yeah, tried to offer us an offering.
Yeah.
And I told her, we're very fine. And we're just, the Lord has blessed us. We're perfectly fine. We have no needs. And that maybe she could bless somebody else with
yeah.
it. I talked to her a little bit more. I said, I'm going to share this with my sisters, that they'll pray for you to have strength.
Yeah.
To press on and seek after the things of God. And when I first saw her, she was a very empty, sad woman. And when she left, she was smiling and thanking me.
Nice.
So I'm really hoping that the seeds go in there. She saw great love.
Yeah.
I actually gave her the example of spiritual adultery.
Right.
Comparing it to physical adultery.
Yeah, be careful. Yeah, her husband cheated on you. Are you cheating on the Lord?
Yeah, I talked to her and I said that about man-made religion. So
yeah, and one of the things I want to bring up is we never just send people off. They always end up with our email,
yep.
our website, an offer of Bible study,
many
an
times,
offer of
yeah.
help, an offer of
yep.
fellowship, an offer of discipleship. So
yep.
we're there for anybody.
Oh, yeah, I tell them several times, email
yep.
us. We'd be happy to help.
We don't just
talk.
Tell them the gospel and repent and then go on our way. We actually give
yeah.
them the resources where we can help them.
Yeah, we're not like somebody standing there with a biblical icon of some sort that tells you nothing.
Yeah.
We give them everything they need, the path to eternal
or
life.
Or street preachers
truth.
That yell at you and tell you you're a drunk or a whore or whatever and tell you to repent and then they leave and they never give you no resources,
yeah.
no contact info. They don't really care about helping you. So
no.
we're there to help people. One of the things I wanted to bring up was, I don't know what this lady's intent was. Now, I'm not going to judge her.
No.
I don't know what her intent was, but we see a lot. People treat God like a vending machine.
Yeah.
In other words, I need something. I'm going to go to God. I'm going to ask God for this, and I'm going to pray to God, or will you pray to God? Maybe he'll listen to you, and they want something. But you got to wonder, are their hearts really right for God? Are they living in the world and living in sin? Do they want to repent and obey the gospel? That's really what they need to do. And it reminds
right.
me of John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, he heareth him. So again, I don't want to judge this lady. She seemed like a very nice lady, and obviously she's going through a very hard time with a divorce. So I don't know what her heart is, but we do have to be careful that we don't approach God like that, that we do his will, that we keep his commandments, that we love and obey his word, and not just ask him for things to make our lives better and more comfortable.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I was thinking about that. You know, she's in a lot of pain in her heart.
Emotional, yeah.
And yeah, so when she sees somebody like us with gospel signs on there and she's thinking, please pray for me, it's oftentimes, I don't know about her, but oftentimes people are just looking for something for themselves to help get
like
through
to soothe
their
them.
Issue. Yeah, but I was thinking about what an awesome, loving, caring God to have her come up to us knowing that she's going to get the truth
right.
and love and help and encouragement and not just to focus on her issues,
right.
but to show her what could be ahead of us.
Yeah,
none of us are perfect.
She got a lot more than just help through a tough time of divorce. She got the keys to eternal life and peace and joy. Jesus said, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. If she's willing to come to him, he'll give her rest. If people don't want to come to him and submit, they're not going to get the rest.
Exactly. And I want to clarify something. I said none of us are perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't finish the thought. What I meant was probably the saints listening know we're supposed to strive to be perfect, which is fully complete and mature.
Right.
My point was to explain to her, you know, she's people can be focused on what other people do.
Yeah.
They don't realize that they have their own faults and their own sins as well.
Yeah.
I was trying to even that out.
Amen. So it was good timing. We were right there for her.
Yeah.
And we hope to hear from her sister. I'm going to encourage her. We'll Bible study with her, all of that. So
that was actually, I don't know. I was very blessed by that.
Yep,
to be able to help a hurting soul.
Amen.
You know,
that's why we're out here.
A lot of hurt and pain out here.
Yeah. That's why we're out here.
Yeah.
The other topic I want to talk about is dropping your nets. We talk about this often. A brother had a really good long witnessing session with a young man he works with, and it looks like this young man wants to drop his nets and follow Christ. He's like at the cost-counting stage, and I wanted to talk about that. Sister Amin, is there a great value in the actual act of dropping your nets and going versus kind of not really dropping your nets and not going anywhere? You get where I'm going?
Oh, yeah. It could either be physically leaving
right.
or it could be in your mind and your life leaving and separating the best you can. Yeah.
When at all possible, the physical leaving is critical. Meaning if someone can go and get out of their environment, their bad situation, the people they're with, and go and be a disciple of Christ, that's awesome. If it's a totally impossible, we get it.
Like married to an unbeliever or something.
God can overcome all that. But
I
kind of wanted to talk about dropping your nets. Mark 1:18, and straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. So when you witness to people, or if you're seekers listening, you need to repent and follow Christ, by the way. You need to obey the gospel and be born from above. When you're at that stage of counting the cost, it's no time to put it off. It's no time to think, oh, the world or Jesus, his value is so much greater. Eternal life is so much longer. Weeping and gnashing of teeth in hell is so much more terrifying than losing this earthly life. So the concept of dropping your nets, it's really critical. We see people dabble with it. They don't do it. They toy with it and they never come. So think about that. If you're at that place or you witness to people, really encourage people, literally drop their nets. Lose their life, follow Christ. Today's the day of salvation, not to put it in other words, not to dilly-dally, not to linger, not to put it off, because when people put it off, they never do it.
Right, the deceitfulness of sin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so
Satan comes in and tries to dissuade them,
Yeah, so don't ever, when you read in Scripture, don't ever take it lightly when it says the men dropped their nets. Look at the real truth of that. They left their fathers, they left their livelihood, they left everything they knew, and they became disciples of Christ. That's what we all have to do. And a lot of people want to add Jesus to their life without any loss. They don't want to lose their life, Matthew 10, and have all of Christ. Big difference.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
So that was something I wanted to bring up and talk about. Anything else from you, Sister Amin? I've got a couple other things, but
Well,
I have one other thing, actually. I have a scripture verse and one other thing.
Well, I have a question for you.
A question?
Yeah.
Where's my question? Where's my question hat? No, I don't have a hat. All right, I'm ready.
Okay.
We didn't practice this, so this is, if I look bad, folks, this is, forgive me.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready for my question.
You got it?
I'm ready. I'm ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within me. 1 Peter 3:15.
Hey, praise God. Okay, so say you're on the street.
I'm on the street.
Or wherever you're at.
Wherever I'm at.
Yep.
Yep.
And you give the gospel to somebody and you explain it to them.
Give the gospel.
And they say, how do you know what you believe is true?
How do I know what I believe is true?
That you can prove it.
Huh. Interesting. Well, that's a real broad-based, wide-open question. The best answer would be if we were talking about something specific, like a doctrine, I could take them to it. But I guess I would say across the board, truth. What is truth? And if you look up the definition of truth, it is that which is true. It's really a clear definition. And so then you have to ask yourself, well, what is truth? And I think the real answer is, who is truth? And if we look at who is truth, and then we see who Christ is, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then if we look at Christ and go, well, wait a minute, Christ is the truth. What did he give us so that we can relate to, know, understand, and keep the truth? He gave us his word. And so he lives, he said, we live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4. So if we go to the word of God, then if we're willing to drop our nets, like we just talked about, lose our life, the Spirit through the gospel will enter us, and he confirms these things in our conscience, and he teaches, guides, comforts, corrects. And then what we can do is, if we need to look at it from the spiritual side, then we can also look at it from the more, I don't know if you want to call it analytical side, factual side. Then you can look at the Word of God and see all the evidence that proves the Word of God, the 24,000 ancient manuscripts that back up the New Testament, how the Old Testament has the accurate history of man, how they're finding new and new archaeological evidence that keeps proving the Bible. So it's a combination of the spiritual truth in Jesus Christ, who he is, and the hard evidence we have. I always tell people, if you can't believe the Bible, you can't believe no book ever written, because there's thousands of times more evidence, or hundreds of times more evidence, 24,000 ancient manuscripts to about 700 for the next closest book. So thousands of times, yep, more evidence for the manuscripts. And there's a lot of things I would tell people. What the Spirit confirms in you, also look at the Bible is a book of prophecy. So look at what it's predicted about the world, and we see it coming to pass. Jesus said, watch the fig tree, Israel. 2,000 years ago, it was predicted that Israel would be the hotbed of the world, and the enemies would surround her, and she'd be ready to be attacked, and the world would be full of wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and diseases and earthquakes. That's exactly what's going on today. And we see an Antichrist system rising, so I know God's word is true. I know that Jesus is the truth. And guess what? You know how I know it's all true? I can't disprove it, and no one else can either.
Right.
How's that sound?
That's awesome. And I asked that because that young woman asked me that.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the one that you brought up that I thought was a really good one that I should have remembered was prophecy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no book like the Bible that's predicted the future, and we see it coming to pass.
Yeah, and so, see, sisters, I'm not ashamed to admit on the internet that I missed that one. That was a good reminder, so this will help all of us.
Right.
You know, maybe you touched on some things.
Yeah, so I think the real answer about how do I know truth, truth is a person, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, then his word is what we follow. His word is Genesis to Revelation. We can prove Genesis to Revelation, how accurate it is by historical, and we can prove it by the prophecy we see coming true. And if I was to turn away from the Christian faith and say, I'm not going to believe that, I'm going to go find something else that's true, you cannot find anything else that has the truth, the historical evidence, the prophecy, the verification, already. I would be remiss if I don't mention this. One who came and lived and laid down his life and picked it up again. The resurrection proves all of who Christ is.
Amen. Yep.
So I wanted to throw that in there too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome.
So
thank you.
Hopefully that answered it for you.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And you know what? Last point on that. I tell men all the time in the street, whether they're atheists, mockers, whatever, Hey, go disprove Jesus Christ. Go disprove the Bible. Go disprove it. And you don't even have to contact me. I'll probably hear about you on the news, and you'll be more famous than Elon Musk and probably richer than him. Oh, nobody's ever been able to do it. They can't disprove the Word of God. They can't disprove Christ. I'm going with Christ.
Amen.
He is, that tomb is empty. He's coming back. He gave us his word, and we see it all coming into fruition. And last point, as we do ministry, we see the Bible played out every day.
Oh, we do.
The facts and truth of it.
Yeah,
light
yeah.
and darkness, good and evil, the wickedness of man.
More and more each day. Yeah.
How about the Spirit rising up in believers, young believers, and moving them on, urging them on to do the things they need to do?
Right.
All of these things we That's, keep seeing as
oh
truth.
God, yeah.
That's awesome. Good question, Sister Amon.
Yeah, good answer.
Yeah,
thank you.
I do have one last thought. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We may have talked about this at some time, but it was a while ago. Contrite. I think the word is dakah. Ready? In Hebrew. You know what it means? Crushed to powder.
Wow. Yeah.
Think about that. I always ask people in the streets, when, you know, people say, I got Jesus, I go to church, I raise my hand, I got water baptized, as they're living worldly and carnal. I have a question I ask people. When was your life totally transformed by the truth that you just asked me about,
mm-hmm.
the Spirit and the Word and the facts, where it changed everything? Your life, your desires, your situation, your future, it changed everything. Most of them don't have that. They don't have that kind of testimony. Otherwise, they'd be our brothers and sisters. Then I asked them, have you ever come to the place where you were so broken, so sorrowful over your sin, so desperate for a new start, so desperate to be redeemed that you were like this, contrite?
Oh, yeah.
That life and sin and situation and your lack of hope and you know your coming doom crushed you into powder. Have you ever been that low and that contrite? Only then, I believe, can you know and cry out to God and ask for the new heart and the new spirit, and he'll give it to you. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah,
you have to have that.
That was me for years and
yeah.
years.
And doesn't that have a lot to do with being lowly, meek, and humble?
It does, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, not high and lofty and proud and puffed up.
I got
yeah.
eternal life no matter what.
I don't know.
God should accept me no matter how much I sin.
I can't fathom that.
I can't be wrong. I don't need to test myself.
Yeah.
We hear all those platitudes out in the street, so.
Those words have been heard by God.
Yeah. Test yourself, saints. Seekers, of course, you need to be crushed low and repent and obey the gospel. But have you come to that place yet? And if you have, wow. Cry out to God, he'll make you new. And if you haven't, you may have pride. You may be holding on to things. And you're holding on to things that you can't take with you into eternity. And it's going to be to your demise. So let
yeah.
go. Seek after the kingdom of God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And God will draw near when we draw near to him. Make sense, Sister Amon?
Right. We came in this world with nothing. We're going to go out with nothing.
Amen. The only
yeah.
thing we could take with us is through witnessing and the gospel, maybe some people.
Right, amen.
Come with us. Anything else, Sister Amon, tonight? You probably have a scripture to share.
I do. I had another topic, but I think we'll just save that one for tomorrow.
You sure?
Well, I don't know. Do you want
Let's go for it.
More?
Let's
okay,
go for
well,
it.
Well, you and I kind of brushed on it, and I think you talked to the brothers about it. It was unity and essentials, liberty and non-essentials.
Yep, good one, good one.
Charity and everything, and all I wanted to say was... I looked up the word essentials, you know, in our English language
yeah.
definition. I know what it is, but I wanted to say it. Absolutely necessary. So it's like unity in things that are absolutely necessary, liberty in things that are not absolutely necessary. What does that mean?
Yeah, brothers and I were talking. It's like, so that means like in the New Testament, there's pages of our Bible we could just rip out because it's not important. It's not needed. It's not essential. It's a man-made doctrine that they came up with out of the Reformation basically to have unity and just a few things rather than having the unity that Brother Paul talks about. 1 Corinthians 1:10, all mm-hmm. speaking the same things, be fully united in one mind and one judgment. They just said, let's just agree on a few things. And they threw out the rest of God's word. How
right.
wicked.
Yeah, and so like some of their non-essentials would be like what you wear.
Yep.
you know, you could wear like nothing or some of the things we saw this weekend.
Pagan holidays.
In and out of those churches.
You can keep the pagan holidays if you want.
And sports and entertainment, music, however you want to talk, even if as long as you don't say the big bad words.
Right. You can be politically prideful and puffed up about prideful American patriotism, and that's okay.
Yeah, we're gonna look over that. You can mar your body and poke a bunch of holes in it and put a bunch of ink in it.
It's amazing what they will throw out from God's word. And there's a great danger because in Deuteronomy and Revelation 22, it says, whoever adds and whoever takes away, watch out. You get your name blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah. They add in the word accepted.
Yeah.
The way they use it anyway.
And essentials and non-essentials and all these things. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing at that. It's just,
it's a mockery almost.
It is. It's so like in your face. Foolish.
Yeah.
Like, so obvious to see.
It's amazing. We have a manual, instructions, doctrine. That's what the Word of God is to us. And people throw it out. And I always tell people this, and I think it hits them kind of hard. People have a job, and many people have like a manual on their job, whether they're a mechanic, electrician, doctor, lawyer. They got a book, they got rules, they got to follow. Have you ever thought about this? Most people, to keep their job for their mammon and their 401k, they follow the rules of their job more than they keep the word of eternal God.
Yeah, you know what else, as you say that? They fear losing their job
more
than they fear God.
Than they fear God.
Isn't that crazy?
So think about that. If you had a manual on your job, I always talk about, and it was 300 pages, and you told your boss, I'm only going to keep 30 pages of it. I ask people that, they go, I'd be fired. A plumber that doesn't keep the plumber specs, I'd be fired. But yet people think they can just, we'll just ignore God's word. No, no, no. You're going to give an answer for that one day. And that's why we need to align ourselves with the doctrine, the instructions that were given. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:15, keep the traditions I've handed down. He was instructed by Christ. He instructed us. That's why we are called legalists, work-based, and a cult, because all we want to do is hold to the doctrines and the truth of the New Testament and some pre-Torah things. And be faithful and true to Father because we love him. Everybody else wants to throw everything out and do their own way. And it's to their own demise. And look at, we live separate from the world and we stand out. People see us and come up and ask for prayer. They live and act and look just like the world. You can't tell the difference between them and the world.
Yeah, I told that to a woman. I don't know if it was this one or just this past weekend, how people coming out of those churches blend right into the world. You can't tell who they are or nothing. And I said, the ecclesia are called out
to be set apart, holy.
Yeah, and you can tell a difference. They look, act, and be different than the world.
And the outside is changed only after the heart is changed.
Yeah.
And so it's a transformation from the inside out. So your words change, your dress change, your actions change, your associations change. Everything changes from the inside out. It's not putting things on to make yourself holy. It's living out the holiness that's coming from within you in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a Holy Spirit in you. I always ask people, do you think you're going to live holy or worldly? Pretty simple answer, isn't it?
Amen. Yeah, we're gonna live as holy and perfect as we can.
Amen. Complete.
Grow into that complete maturity.
Mature. Amen. Amen. So we're going to leave it right there.
Oh, I didn't get to read my scripture.
Oh, you have a scripture. We forgot. Don't want to forget the Word of God.
I have more. One more. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Wait, you mean we have stuff to do?
Well, there's a lot in that right
Amazing.
There.
Amazing. Yes, we do. We have stuff to do in this glorious covenant. Christ did it perfectly for us. We need his perfect righteousness, but we have much to do in this covenant, and we're made for those good works, Ephesians 2:10, and it glorifies our Father when we strive to, what was that? What did you just say? Read that again, would you? When we strive to cleanse ourselves?
Yeah, it was 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
So ultimately, Christ's blood cleanses us, but because of that, we're also cleansing ourselves. There is sanctification work in there. God's sanctifying us, and we're working for sanctification as well. Most people sit there and go, he does it all. No, you have a process to do, the plucking out, the ripping out, the cutting off, the walking in holiness,
right,
the seeking of a good, pure, and true.
Romans 12, 2.
Amen.
And a whole bunch more.
Yeah, amen, amen. And that's what we like to teach people to do. And it's a joy to lift up God's word, hold it up, because we know it glorifies him. And we don't want to take part in any way demeaning his word, ignoring his word, changing his word, twisting his word to be more popular, to water it down, to be man-pleasing. We want to please God and let it fall where it falls.
Yeah, and let him deal with it, yeah.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to leave it right there. We're done now, right?
Yeah.
All right. You keep looking up, saints. Remember, our redemption draweth nigh, and Christ is coming for us one day.
Yeah.
Or we're going to be with him.
Yeah, it's coming one way or another, yeah.
Ponder that time and live for him with all your heart. We love you all.
May God be praised.